The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Hi besties, welcome to the first ever episode of The Disappointing Friend. In this episode, we talk about why we started the podcast, how we met, how we became friends. We go on like a few tangents, let's
and
admit.
And why you need to listen. We're not polished, we're not therapists, we're just two girls struggling to maintain friendships, adult friendships, gain new friendships and be better at friendships and support our friends.
Me? Do I sound, am I too loud?
No, you sound fucking amazing.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God.
Things are a bit loud for old mate Juju.
Oh, really? You want to start?
Do we want, how do we want our agenda to go for today?
Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Or should we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, I say introduce ourselves.
Yay?
Yeah.
You going to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. Hi, I'm Fatuma Denzako. I am a mother. I am a co-founder of Collective Closets. I'm also a huge procrastinator. And I've been told that I am a disappointing friend. Like, not in a bad disappointing friend way. Like, I haven't slept with anyone's husband, but I am like the person that doesn't really follow through or takes maybe like 48 hours to send a message back or reply or acknowledge the message. But not because I'm mean or nasty. It's just because I'm time poor and I'm a procrastinator. I love Vanderpump Rules and that is my priority.
Yeah. You know what? When you put it that way, it's really not that disappointing. We need to find somebody that has slept with someone's husband and then has maybe maintained a friendship with them. Because, like, you're right. That's a much more disappointing act than anything that either you or I have ever done. And it really just goes to show there are some unrelenting standards within contemporary friendships sometimes that, like,
100%.
Someone not texting back in a timely manner can summon the level of rage that, or not rage, but disappointment.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, listen, I've done worse. It's like, I haven't, my friends
like,
are not calling.
You're like, I slept with people, boyfriends.
Husbands are a different thing. No. I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, I've obviously done worse. I feel like I've really had time to reflect on this, what people saying to me and how that affects me, is that I have probably been disappointing in being probably rude, super late to dinners, not very considerate, probably pretty drunk and said some crazed up, messed up things. Nothing life-changing, but enough to hurt someone's feelings. I understand how I've gotten the title of disappointing friends. I just don't know if some of the people giving it to me were justified to give it to me.
Mm. Oh, we should actually backtrack. Do you want to tell the story of what brought us to making the podcast?
Mm.
Okay.
But I feel like you need to introduce yourself first.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So my name is Juliette Miranda Rowe. I'm a local Melbourne icon.
That's amazing.
Juliette Miranda Rowe. I'm an artist, a writer, educator based in Melbourne. And recently I've really been self-identifying as a socialite. And I think that my definition of what I consider a friend has changed dramatically. I used to use friendship as if it was kind of this exclusive title to get to become my friend, like to get brought into my inner circle. And now I'm like, oh no, I've had people that I'll see out and they'll introduce me to a friend and of theirs and they'll be like, this is my friend Juliette. And I'll be like, are we friends? And then I realized, oh, it's because I used to have really strict definitions of what I considered friendship. Because I've been like a long-term single person, they were my romantic relationships.
Mm.
And now I think it's this thing where I'm like, oh, no, if I meet and I've like vibe with someone why am I holding back from like calling this person a friend as if it's some sort of sacred title? And not to say that it isn't a sacred title, but it's now that I have better boundaries with what I consider friendship, I'm not afraid to have more people I call friends.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh yeah, you're my friend. Oh my God, I've gone on such a tangent. But this was meant to be my intro and it's turned into, I'm a socialite. I'm out on the town. I think also because I talk a lot to strangers in my neighborhood and sometimes I'm like, am I a local crazy person? And I was like, no, I'm a local legend. I'm a local character. I'm adding to the cultural fabric of Melbourne and I embrace that. But I don't know if anyone's ever to my face called me a disappointing friend, but definitely over the past few years, I have had quite a number of relationships implode in various ways. And I can imagine my behaviour's been both disappointing and I personally have been disappointed by other people's behaviour. Meant that it's like fundamentally shifted my perspective on friendship, how I treat new and old friends.
Well, the reason why we're making this podcast is really about that. So it's Juliet and I know each other from Juliet being a beautiful customer of ours. And for me, I know lots and lots of people. I would say that I have lots and lots of friends, but I think I just tier them. Yeah. So because of my job in my shop, I would meet so many fantastic women and often I wanted to be friends with them. And I was like, ooh, I'm already like my basket's very full. I'm going to put this person in like my, I want them around. I'm going to manifest for them to come back to me. But right now I just can't commit because I'm going to be disappointing them for sure. And so Juliet was a customer of mine and I was obsessed with her. She'd come to my shop and she'd be there for hours. We loved it.
Like I said, I'm a local legend. This is me. I come into the shops of people and I talk shit.
Anyway. And I would really look forward to it. Anyway, I was super, super busy and we always thought that we'd work together. I was like, how? And then last year, I actually had like a bit of a moment with some of my friendships where they were also imploding. And it was because I was just doing too much. I was working, I was on someone else's business, I was working on my own business, I was being a mum, I was trying to do all these projects, I was trying to do fashion week, I was just doing too much. And I think maybe I was also turning 40 this year and some of the friendships were just, they weren't even serving the both of us. Like I was hanging out with people that we were both just having a pretty crappy time. And I was thinking, why am I here? They were thinking for too much, not giving me much. And just altogether, that it kind of imploded. And then I called Juliet. I missed her birthday and I was like, damn, I can't get to Juliet's because I'm working on a weekend, which I often do. But I was like, I'm going to take her out for dinner. And I literally came with a bag of groceries and was like, Juliet, I have problems. My friends don't like me anymore. She's like, okay, happy birthday to me.
No, I love that that's how you're painting it because I did not interpret it that way at all. I thought it was totally fine for like, I just moved into a new apartment. I was having your cousin, Vanessa, who is also a friend of mine, was coming over for dinner anyway. And I was like, yeah, Vanessa's coming over for dinner. Come to my new house. I don't have a dining table yet, but like, we're going to make it work. And like I said, I've had long-term friends. So coming into somebody's house and just like unleashing the shit that you're going through is like, oh yeah, lay it on me. Like that's perfectly, that's like a common part of most of my friendships. So I didn't consider it rude or anything.
Yeah, but it did go over the whole night. It's I literally spoke about you, the friendships.
You pinpoint that moment, I guess, because actually, if we go back even further, because when I used to come into the shop, it was COVID era.
Yeah.
And I would come in and I was working alone, living alone, and I would just be like, talk to me. And I remember even back then, Lorinda, your sister, being like, you should start a podcast. you talk a lot, not in a negative way. And so I feel like the seeds were planted even back then with us, one, forming a friendship.
Yeah.
As not just like, oh, I'm a shop person coming into shop, but also us both being like creative business owners. Like we're both creative people.
Definitely.
And I remember coming to a pop-up sale you were doing at Collingwood Yards in like, it would have been 2022. And we were both already having friendship problems.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just before Christmas and we were both already having friendship problems.
I remember this.
You were really upset. Yeah. I was going through like big, big friend shifts and you were having these moments with your own friends. And this was important because when we were coming into the shop, we were coming out of lockdowns and you were like, we really want to take you out for a drink. Like, give us your number. And I remember this resistance because, similar to you, I very much used to have like tiered friendships. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly after like lockdowns, I felt really strained in a lot of my relationships. I felt really disconnected from people who essentially had created my social fabric for years, but I like no longer felt close to them. I felt like we'd grown in all of these different ways and we'd missed out on really important moments in each other's lives, and that it was hard for us to connect now. Yeah. And, but I think for me back at that point, I still had this sense of like obligation or duty, like that I needed to try and reconnect with people as best I could. And the idea of adding more people into that while I literally remember you being like, oh, we've got to have coffee sometime, like give us your number. And I was like, oh my God, no, I'll just come into the shop, girlfriend. Like, I was like, I literally remember leaving and having this kind of aha moment where I'm like, you keep on going on about how you don't have enough friends and that, because do you know what I mean? I felt so disconnected and lonely. And then I was like, okay, I suppose I need more friends because the people who I used to have friendships with no longer seem to have time for me. So I must need more. Yeah. And then I was like, here's this person who's trying to make a friendship with me and I'm resisting. And so it was this real realization for me where I was blocking my own opportunities. So I remember being like, why are you afraid to like meet up with this person outside of the shop?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think it's more of a like, perhaps I have sold you like an idea of who I am based on me coming into the shop and being like, blah, 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 like being a real personality. And then it's like, oh no, but me being a personality and coming into the shop and being vivacious and having all these things to say is one facet of who I am.
Yeah.
And actually like you don't know me. And perhaps if you get to know me, it was that. It was like, oh, if we get to know each other as real people, perhaps you won't like me. And at that point in time, I was so fragile.
Yeah.
The idea of starting a new thing and it not panning into something, I think my ego just wouldn't have been able to handle it. Because I was like, I already feel like people who I thought were going to love me forever no longer love me.
Yeah.
And now the idea of these new people who are like, what an exciting new person. It's like, oh, no, I'm actually like deeply sensitive and crazy and like I'm a lot kind of thing.
But we all are.
No, definitely. But I think at the time that's how I felt. So for me, even just us building a friend, like even me just being like, hey, maybe you can just get to know this person. And if you guys get along and it's good, that's good. And if you don't, that doesn't matter. It was actually a real like aha moment for me where I was like, hey, like it's safe to make new friends. And so I think then when it was like 2022 and you were doing this pop-up and then you were having a Christmas party, a Christmas Eve party.
Yeah.
And my
And can I say my parties are good?
No.
They're more colour. Like I really think about food in my party. So that's one
is a host.
So I was like, come to my party, Juliet. Like what
everything
are you doing?
Everything is provided. Everything's for
provided. Don't bring me a terrible salad. I don't need that in my life. Yeah. We just want you to come. We like just come. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I remember that moment of you being in my backyard. It was a really beautiful day where I was like, some of my friends that I would normally invite, I'm not, because I felt like there's just like so much going on and I really want it to be a good vibe. And the last couple of Christmases where I had invited a few people or like this hasn't panned out. And I was like, oh, actually, I'm not putting myself through that again. So I just want you to come through light and easy and I don't want to have like deep. Like, I want some fun. And you evoked that out of me. Anytime that we were hanging out, I'd always be like, oh.
No, but I think
I feel really good about myself.
That's funny, though, to me, right? Because, and I don't know, I can't remember if we discussed this at the time, and I haven't fully worked out like how I want to talk about this person within the context of this podcast, but, like, my estranged former closest, my best friend, ex-best friend's birthday is Christmas. And so that was like already a really difficult time.
Oh, wow.
And I had just had COVID and we'd had a fallout that year. And that was like the first birthday in like our entire friendship. I think like we wouldn't have been spending it together.
Mm.
And so I remember you inviting me to this birthday. Not this birthday. I remember you inviting me to this Christmas Eve party and being really conscious. It felt really important for me to like have this other thing to go to because I actually think and even at that party, as much as you're thinking of it, it's like, oh, it was so fun. And it was, but it was like, I was putting in so much effort at that time of my life to like not be a wreck. That end of 2022, so stressful.
Yeah.
And like heartbreaking. And I remember being at that party and there was your family as well, because I think that was a big thing about new friendships. I know that people like to say that it's really hard to make new friends in adulthood, but as a self-prescribed local legend and socialite, I can tell you making new friends is actually super easy. What is hard is making old friends. So, and by old friends, I mean like making friends with people who you can be in your own house looking like shit and they can be there with you and you don't have to be performing.
Yeah.
Like those type of old friends where it's like you don't have to be on your best behavior. It's harder to make those type of friends in adulthood. And the reason is because when you're an adult, everyone is time poor. Mm. Nobody has enough time. When you're young, you have time affluence. Yeah. You can literally just veg out, sit around. Yeah. And the thing is, those hours where you're just sitting around with people, even if you're not doing anything, your nervous system is bonding to them. You are getting comfortable in their presence.
Oh my God, and that's such a 20s kind of phenomenon, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whereas when you're older, unless you're doing all the work to like calm your freaking nervous system down and to make sure you're entering into environments, I guess, to feel safe and comfortable to kind of be authentic with people, it's really hard to let your guard down with people. So I don't think it's hard to make new friends. Every fucking day I walk out into the world and like somebody tries to befriend, do you know what I mean? I meet someone new that I'm like, are you the future love of my life? Like every day I meet someone and I'm like, wow, is this going to be a real amazing friendship? I don't want to say that they're not. Like it's not to say that they're not amazing people. Particularly the people that I'm attracted to as friends. We're all creative professionals, big ambitions we're working towards, like we're busy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get people like that to settle down for a second, to be present and connect in the ways that you can when you're younger.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to make old friends. And so you inviting me like into your actual home with your family on Christmas, that felt like such a and particularly after 2 years we'd had of lockdowns where I couldn't even go into, like, friends of mine were had babies during that period. I didn't even see them pregnant. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, felt like I missed out on these really intimate moments with people. And to have a new person, like, invite me, it was like, and for me to feel safe and comfortable.
Yeah.
So it was like, much as it was fun, it was also like, it gave me like a lot of hope for the future, because we danced until, it was Christmas Eve, we danced into Christmas morning.
That's so
in your lounge
true.
Room with the music really loud.
God.
Like, I remember that night so well.
Whoa.
And you put on this song that then became my song of the summer. I can't remember who it is. It's that song, I can't eat, I can't sleep anymore. Waiting for through the door. I wish I didn't miss you anymore. And that like literally became like this theme song. I had like really two like really long term like major best friend breakups over that summer, really going through it. But I think that song, like in some ways, like because it's how I felt. I was like, I did wish that I don't miss you anymore kind of thing. But it would put me in also this good sort of vibe as well. I wasn't expecting to talk about in this first episode. But yeah, when you then came to me, you know, another year later and you were like, oh my God, I'm going through these friend breakups.
Yeah.
I was like, Mel, we've been going through friend breakups for like the entire time we've known each other.
But I think the difference is, I think, because I'm the total opposite of you. I, like, all of my friends are very practical. I mean, like, I've got crazy friends, I'm not trying to say that, but most of my friends are quite practical. They have practical jobs. Mm. And so really, like, I spread myself really thin. Like, if I meet someone and we're vibing, in my mind, I'm like, they're a friend. And because I tear them, I'm like, they're friends. Anyone that's in my sphere that we get along with and having coffee is a friend. I even like struggle to use acquaintance, because sometimes I've friended people too quickly, but they are actually an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, everyone has my friend. I love that. But I'm like, actually, when I think about it, that person I'm only doing very social stuff with, I'm seeing them maybe twice a year, and each time we're never getting into, like, it's just so surface. I don't know what their cat's name is, don't know what their mum's name is, and pretty much don't care, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just like there for a good time, not a long time.
See, maybe that's where I am vaguely now. Maybe. I don't know. There's too much water sign and earth sign in me. So I'm like, no one's ever done me so wrong. Like we said earlier, no one's been sleeping with my husband. No one's done really, I'm like, touch wood, like no one's done really bad things. But I'm someone that's like, I love people like, forever. And I love people really deeply. So I think that's why I used to be like, no, you got to take your time to earn friendship. Whereas now I'm like, nah, friend. Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
In that, if I see you around, we can have a giggle.
Yeah. Where I'm throwing my friendship card And that's why I think people do find me disappointed, because I've worked out from doing this podcast that I'm a bit of a love bomber as a friend, because I'm like, love you, you're amazing, great. But then I literally, not intentionally, I might either move on or I might just like be busy. And so the person's thinking, oh my God, Fatima and I are so deep. Wow, she loves me. She's invited me to stuff. Oh, great. Yeah. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, you're great. Because if we're hanging out more than once or twice, I actually do think you're great. But I also am quite busy. And that's my fault. So I can see why I have gotten the hat as a disappointing friend, because I can see if I was on the other side, and it's only taken me like through putting this podcast together and really, really, really like understanding and unpacking why my friendships have gone to the left and why significant people I don't see anymore or don't enjoy their company is because I'm like obsessed with someone. And then it's not that they become less shiny or less obsessed. Like, it's just that I just I get caught up in my real life, and because I wear all these hats. And you know, the other day I'm like, how much time do I spend with my mother-in-law? I just spend more time with her. I've got three sisters. How many times am I calling them? And all of a sudden, I start to like tick these boxes off of people that I actually really need to check in with, and realize I haven't really checked in with a friend that was going through something 2 months ago that told me. And I'm like, oh my God, what type of friend? You know what I mean? So then I love bomb them again. And then I'm unpacking and I'm working through, and I'm excited for the podcast because that's something that I'm actually actively working on. And what type of friend do I want to be? Because my intentions are never ill. I'm never like, I don't care about that person. I haven't checked in on them. It's literally like, oh my God, I've got a deadline. Oh my God, I've got to send that email.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've got to pick my son up at 3 o'clock and I'm already running late.
Yeah.
You know.
It's interesting because I think that becomes the calling card of a lot of people, is like, I just don't have time. I think we need a lot less time, because I think if you give someone like a concentrated, even just a concentrated 30 seconds of your actual presence, I think is worth so much more than 4 hours of us being in each other's company but not really actually connecting.
Yeah.
And that's what happened for me with like a lot of friendships, particularly because I'm pretty sober. And like, I'm not going to say that that makes me like some angel. I also carry an iPad like a lot of places. And there's definitely been times where I'm working on a deadline and I'm like, oh, my iPad's here so I can hang out with you, but I'm going to be coloring in this. And I know it pisses people off. And like, people are like, why the hell is this mole on her iPad coloring in while we're trying to have a moment? But I think for them, what they don't realize is I'm like, oh, but you're also getting drunk. So you're sitting here and you're making yourself a bit more calm and relaxed and like drinking and getting a bit loose that way. And for me, I'm sitting here raw dogging life. Like, that's the thing as well. I'm like, I don't have my iPad sometimes. I'm like, I used to smoke and drink. I don't do either of those things anymore. And sometimes if I'm around other people doing those things, it's not even that I want to do it. It brings out some like anxiety. I'm peeling the labels off beer bottles. Do you know what I mean? I'm fidgety.
So it's like, yeah, sometimes I the other day when I was hanging out with you,
yeah, and I
was
like, yeah, I had a deadline. Like, I had a deadline.
Listen, it did not annoy me at all, but I didn't realize that like me drinking some wine would have been maybe the trigger. Because now I'll be more thoughtful.
It's not
about
even
it.
That. It's just more that like, it's not necessarily a trigger. That day I did have a deadline that I was already overdue on. And like I said, I'm trying to do it less, because I do want to be that person that's like, hey, I don't need to stay at the party for as long as I was staying at the party for.
Yep.
As long as I'm there and I'm actually present with people. I'll never forget, years ago, a friend of mine came to my birthday and she came up to me and she was like, I can only be here for 15 minutes. She sat down, she grabbed my shoulders, and she was like, I love you. Happy birthday. Tell me what you've done today. Tell me how you're feeling. Then she was like, can I give you a massage? And literally she sat behind me, gave me a massage, while I just like was like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, like, talked to her a little bit about my life. And then someone had tarot cards and she was like, oh my God, can I do a tarot reading for you? She did a tarot reading for me. It was like, she was there for 15 minutes.
Oh my God, you know,
it was like, exactly. And I just never forget it, because she came, she was like, you know, gave me a kiss on the forehead and was like, I love you. Have a beautiful day, and left. And there were people that were there the whole afternoon that didn't have a conversation with me, that barely said happy birthday to me, that didn't even look me in the eye. Do you know what I mean?
No.
And it's like, do you think I left feeling loved by them?
Yeah.
No. I was like, oh, that was nice that they came, I guess, but I kind of feel like we didn't even see each other and anything like that. So I was, and that was this, it was a real like lesson for me as well, because I've been that person who's come to a party and has been essentially a cardboard cutout, who's kind of, or, you know, who's brought out my freaking iPad and been like, guys, sorry, I have to finish coloring in this drawing for a client, you know, like, or whatever it is. And I've stayed like, I've been there for hours, and it's like, you know, and you could easily be like, oh, but look, I was here at this party like this whole time. Or I have other friends who literally all year won't respond to my messages because, you know, they're too busy, they don't have time or whatever. And then on my actual birthday, they come and then it's like, darling, I want to buy you all the drinks. I want to pay for your dinner, blah, 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 all these things. And to me, I used to, this is really bad. I used to call that like a deadbeat friend, like a, like a deadbeat dad.
Oh no, yeah, I'm hurt.
But a friend of mine pointed it out to me. She was like, is it that bad? Or is it that throughout the year when they don't have capacity, rather than give you crumbs, they'll, you know, and then when they're actually there with you, they give you that presence. And I was like, sure, maybe, but it does to me feel like love bombing. I can get really overwhelmed on my birthday. All of a sudden people coming out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? Like, trying to give you love when it's like, oh, I was actually in like a depressive episode like a few months ago. It would have been really nice to get little, just little like bits of presence here and there, I think would go a really long way.
I agree, but I do think that, and it's, listen, and I think it's just a way that people live their lives. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like it's, I recently went away with some friends and I realized that I really do fill up my life. Like right now, I'm doing a new business, an old business, a podcast, and I still work. And I'm not trying to be like, I'm so busy, I'm so important. But to be honest, that level of things in my life actually really fulfill me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to say that people that don't have stuff going on aren't fulfilled, but I'm just talking about it personally for me. The way I get off in life is actually like being busy and achieving things that I really want to. So it is about that I don't have the time. And it's quite selfish. It is. It's really, really, really selfish that I fill up my time with stuff that I want to do that I think is really meaningful. I understand it's selfish, but I still do it. So when I say I don't have time, it's not to make the other person feel really bad. It's literally I just don't have time in my day-to-day. Because I feel like it is. It's a bit lazy. It is a bit deadbeaty kind of dad stuff. But it's actually true. And so I've had to work out how I then show up for my friends. Because it turns out I wasn't showing up in a very good way.
Yeah.
And it's about changing that mindset and acknowledging. Because I'm like, when I'm there, I'm present. I'm asking you stuff most of the time. And I'm also talking about myself. I'm also talking about my son all the time. But I have to then work out what it is. But one of the things I've noticed about myself as well is I'm actually quite nervous. I actually really am as a person. I went to a friend's birthday recently and I was internally a nervous wreck. I didn't know what to say. I'm not very good at big situations. And I've also decided now that I'm not going to big parties that I know I'm going to get lost in mentally. So I'm like changing the things and like one-on-one feels much better for me.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly changing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also don't have time and I'm also okay to say that. And I think that some of my deepest friendships, one of my really good girlfriends has lived in Singapore for like 5-6 years. And every now and then, I'm talking about maybe twice a year, I get super drunk and I send her a song. You know that song? Whenever I'm down, I call on you, my friend. And I think she's thinking, oh my God, Fatima's probably drunk. And she's sending me this song again. But when her and I meet, because she comes to Melbourne like once a year, we'll spend this afternoon together. And it is like we've never, like I don't need to talk to her 365 days.
Yeah.
That one day is amazing. We get along. It like it recharges everything, or kind of like kind of solidifies our friendship.
Yeah.
And it turns out that in order for us to be really good friends, we don't need to see each other every single day, and we can still support each other and be deep and all of that in this way that works for us. And I find that friendship, she's just moved back to Melbourne, really refreshing. And even, I thought when she gets back to Melbourne, maybe we'll hang out every single day. Turns out we still have a Singapore-Melbourne relationship. Yeah, yeah. And she's moving to like Elsterwick. So I'm never going there. Sorry. Like, you might as well still live in Singapore. But you know what I mean? Like, for me though, anytime I see her, I hang out with her, it feels so, so refreshing and deep. And I know she feels the same way because she's like, you know, I don't make much of an effort. And I'm like, I ain't never complaining.
Yeah.
Because I would much rather that at times, not for every one of my friendships, because even though I have a lot of friendships, there are times I feel quite lonely because I have that like, you know, I'll see you then, see you then. Mm. Some of the relationships aren't very deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there are days where I'm like, oh, who am I going to call? Oh, it turns out I don't have that many people to call. Yeah. Even though I literally know hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I've kind of seeded that for myself.
Yeah. I used to have friends like that who lived overseas, and that we managed the distance. They are part of friendships that have imploded in the past few years. And for years I was like really proud of those relationships because I was like, oh wow, we've like done so well sustaining these relationships over long periods of time and over distance. But I know for me, I don't want to say it was a sham because they're obviously not sham friendships and obviously that feels cruel. But for me, they're not sustainable friendships if in order for them to maintain existence, you're not fully expressing your issues.
Yeah.
Like I said, because for years I had been the single friend and my friends to me were my romantic relationships. Like it was almost like my friends were my plants and I have to check in on how my plants are doing throughout the week or whatever. And it became this thing where I'm like, oh, you know what? Like if I stop checking in on people, like they're not checking in on me. Mm. And then it was this thing where I never wanted to be someone that was like bitter or resentful.
Yeah.
So I was really conscious of that, but I was like, you know what? People have different capacities and people also have like different ways of expressing themselves. So the 2020, I was really like consciously being like, I don't want to feel like angry or resentful at anyone for like what they're like not giving me essentially. Like I was like, it's my responsibility that if I want more from people, I need to communicate that. And I think by 2021, I had fallen into like quite a deep depressive moment and it was a lot harder for me to not pay attention to those resentments and I let them fester in different ways.
Yeah.
And so it then became really obvious to me that I was like, oh, these relationships that I was like proud of, these relationships weren't sustainable. You have to work so hard not to come up with narratives, because that's the thing. Like I have certain friends who have straight up have texted me very formal, like, we are terminating your contract as friend. Like not those words, but essentially those kind of words. And to those friends, I'm like so grateful because I'm like I said, I love people forever. I'm like, if people don't want to terminate the contract of friendship, I'll sit there trying forever.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I loved that. It's like, oh, amazing. Like that's heartbreaking, but thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. Tell me to get fucked.
Well, you received that via text. Yeah. That's nuts.
Anyway, they didn't say terminate the contract of friendship. I'm just saying that's the energy.
Yeah.
And then other friends who have not even expressed anything. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard with those friendships. Not really hard. I guess it has been hard in the past. Where I'm at now is like I've got a really good journaling practice and I can feel myself when I start to create narratives, because that's all it is. I have not had a conversation with that person about this for years.
Yeah.
So any of the opinions that I'm now coming up with, I'm like, that doesn't tell you anything about them. That tells you everything about your perception of them.
100%.
And so like, that's the thing I think as well, when you start internalizing what you think your friends like believe in.
Well, to be honest, I do feel like, and you know, there's an age gap between you and I. Because I might be a bit self-centered because I've never, like in my early 20s, I definitely felt that way.
Mm.
Like from, I reckon the last 10 years, it would be, I think new friends, I definitely, maybe there's a few people that I've met recently, I'm like, oh, I wonder what she thinks about me or am I a bit boring? And I have been told. This is actually a true situation.
Like, I have been told.
I remember my early 20s where, like, people were like, oh, my God, are you Futurama? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, wow. And then it talked to me for, like, 20 minutes. And then I had a few, like, oh, you're not as interesting as I thought you were going to be.
Wait, people said that to your face?
To my face. And in my early 20s, it cut me deep. I was like, ah, what? Whoa. And I'd be like, what am I saying? Should I be more interesting? But it happened 3 times, so I realised I wasn't that interesting. I literally did realise that.
That's like such a weird thing to say to people.
But what happened made me realise, and maybe it was a really good lesson that happened in my early 20s, that like I can't care. Like I care too much in that time. I was like, what am I going to say? What music am I going to pretend to listen to? Am I a vegan? Turns out like I love fried chicken. I'm really simple. KFC could be, like I would love it if I could eat it every day, but I don't. Like I had to just go, it's me. So now people will say stuff to me and it's not that I don't care. I just, like, it's, I'm who I am. No, see, I don't...
And my friends, like, not, what my friends think about me, what they think about my relationship, what they, I actually, that's not my business.
Oh,
that
no.
is on them.
I'm not, like, I don't care what people think about me in terms of, like, whether I'm a vegan or things like that, but I do care about how I make my friends feel. So, like, so I want to okay. make that clear.
Yeah.
For me... Fundamentally, like I said, my friends are like my romantic relationships. I've always been really community orientated.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, so when I think about like, oh, I care about what people think about me, it's not, do they think I'm cool? Do they think I'm interesting? Because like, I don't need that. I know that I'm deeply interesting. I'm a local legend and Melbourne icon, but I care about like how I make other people, how other people feel in my presence. And so when... Like, I don't want to ever, or I didn't want to ever let anyone feel like I had abandoned them or, like, forgotten about them as a person, because that has literally happened to me, like, so many times throughout my life. So that brings us to how we actually, I guess, started getting the podcast together. Like I said, I had no issues with you coming into my house and talking to me about your friendship issues.
Yeah.
It was actually good to hear stuff that you had to say, because I think we've almost been on different sides of the same coin in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
That, like you said, you don't have time, you get called like a disappointing friend. And I, in the past, have been someone who can like get resentful of people not having the time and energy to put into friendships.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting, I suppose, because in having conversations, I was like, well, I can kind of see
how?
Your friend's perspective.
Well,
but
then,
you've given me insight as
yeah.
well.
Well, the funny part was after that, and after Juliet giving me lots and lots of insights on why I might be in the position that I am, I literally went home and I just could not get it out of my mind, because what I wanted to do was move forward. So this was like 2023 and I was going to a new decade. I wanted to go into it, this new decade, like with a bit more clarity, but I wanted to fix the reasons why I was. I was like, why is it that I've earned this title? And it kind of was really, 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 it was affecting me every day. I was like getting, I had anxiety. I was like, why am I not talking to blah, blah? How is it that I'm 39 and I don't have like, half of my friendships are imploding, my lifelong, like 20-year-old friendships. Why don't they exist anymore?
Mm.
Like, and I was like literally stressed out. So, and I knew it was through my actions, because like, you know, in the, when you realize that you've lived on the earth long enough and you've been doing something one way, you've really got to ask yourself, like, hold on, what are you doing to contribute? It can't be everyone else's fault.
Yeah.
That's what I realized. So then I was called up Juliet and I was like, Juliet, I have an idea of how to unpack my trauma for free, I guess. And also, I was starting to, like a real weirdo, starting to talk to other people about it. Like, hey, so at the cafe, so some of my friendships are like going away. Like, have you experienced that before? And people were like, yeah, actually. And the more and more I started to talk to people about it, it turns out that everyone in their 30s are struggling with long-term relationships.
It's everywhere.
So it wasn't just yeah. me. So then I was like, Juliet, we're meeting up and we need to talk about this yeah. idea that I have, because it turns out that I'm not just a disappointing friend. Everyone around us is either disappointed or disappointing or starting to just get into their own heads about situations that aren't real.
That's why I wasn't offended by you coming over and having this dilemma, because I had been that person.
Mm.
I had spent not just that year, like the past 3 years talking to people about my friendships imploding. And because they are what I consider to be my romantic relationships, I spend a lot of my time listening to couples therapist podcasts.
Mm.
I like follow the Gottman's Institute on, you know, all social media channels. And if you don't know who they are, they're this couple who since the 70s have been doing like research about like how to navigate intimate relationships for couples. I have friends that are in long-term relationships and I'll be like giving them advice that I have heard through all of these different relationships. Because that's the thing. It's like, oh, so much of our culture is geared towards like, how do you maintain a marriage? How do you maintain like as a husband and wife? How do you parent? There's very little communication talked about like how to navigate
adult friendships yeah.
and maintaining them. And like, also to be honest, that's where a lot of my resentment came from a long time, because I was like, I'm sitting here and my friends are like one of my top priorities. And when I say that, it's not because I'm like,
you know, it's not because I'm also not busy. I think for me, it's also 100%. A thing where I go like the successes I have in my career, one, because I'm work hard, but also because I'm really good at managing a creative network. Not to be like, I want friends because it's good for my career, but I just mean like relationships are really important to me.
Yeah.
And also like,
I think that what happens is, back to what you were saying, is maintaining it. Because like I said, I've got like lots of people that I'm friends with. Mm. I think that it'd be interesting to ask each of them about the quality of the relationship. Some people are nourished in my community and some people are not. And it's not because they're less interesting or like so for me, it's about maintaining it. Because I also realize that I'm a bit of a problem solver. Mm. I'm like, you've got this issue. Let's get the problem solved. Turns out people want to talk about that problem for months and months, even years. I'm like, have we solved this problem yet? So, and I'm not letting them really, because I'm not maintaining it. I just want you to be fixed.
Yeah.
That's not a good, like,
no, that's terrible.
See, yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say. I think that there's no handbook to like say to you or to help you go like, you know what? Juliet's going through this issue. She might be going through it for 5 years. Let her. Your job here as a friend, an established friend, is not to fix it, is not to throw a solution, is actually to check in, see how she's going, throw a resource there, listen to it, like literally do that part. But because I did not understand it, I was like, are you fixed yet? Like, well, what are we talking about? You can change your life every day. I'm giving like, what is it? What's that guy that Tony Robinson kind of quotes like, your life is in your hands.
Yeah. This is like, I guess this is like a core difference between like you and I.
Yes,
I think as well.
Definitely.
Because for me, some people are going to listen to you if you tell them exactly what to do.
Yeah.
But oftentimes most people feel disempowered.
Yeah.
And, or they feel, like you said before, if you're in a new environment, you feel anxious, or even if you're just in an old environment, I think it's interesting about the fixer things, because like if you had a husband that when you had problems, they came in and they just wanted to fix everything and they weren't listening to anything you were saying, or they like weren't taking your feelings into account and they thought they knew what was best for you. I think a lot of women would objectively be like, oh, why aren't you listening to me? Like, I just need you to be emotional support. Because often we think we're trying to fix someone's problems, but we don't understand their problem. Because like if someone's 100%. Lost their job, it's not that they need a new job. It's that a lot of the time, like their confidence has been shattered.
Yeah.
They are now been triggered into a point where they feel small and vulnerable and they feel alone in the world, or they feel like they're incapable of, you know, whatever reason it is. So it's like, they don't need us to come in and be like, I've got you this interview, or I've got you this, I've put in your resume. They need you as a friend to come in and like, or they shouldn't say they need, ask your friends what your friends need.
Yes.
The other thing is, a lot of us have been, like, if you've grown up within Australia, you've been raised within a culture where we're not encouraged to sit with our emotions, be present with our emotions, and actually like move through our emotions. When you say some people want to sit there for 5 years, nobody wants to sit there for 5 years going through a problem. What happens is that we don't address a problem when it actually comes up in the moment, and then people get stuck in bad cycles for 5 years.
I don't think
100%. Anyone wants to sit there going on about it for 5 years.
No. 100%. But I think that this is what I'm saying. Depending on your personality, I am a person, and this is the difference, is that it's not that I'm like, oh my God, everyone wants to be stuck in their ways. That's not what I'm trying to say. Mm. I think as a friend, and back to the husband situation, my husband is very like, let's solve the problem. Mm. And I'm like, yes, sometimes does he not listen to it? But I know his intention is to make me better or help me out. And that's my intention as well. So it's not that I'm like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. I'm literally like, girl, you are amazing.
Yeah.
This is the reason why we're friends. How can we get you with like full cheerleading squad kind of vibe from A to B? And that's my problem, because in the exact same scenario that you're talking about, and you're right, it was confidence. It was that. And I had to hear that later, but at the time, with full amazing intention, with like, I love you. I just feel like you could be doing that. That's not my job. Yeah. And also, who am I to tell you? Like, I'm not coming. Like, I don't have the qualifications on how to like do that. But why do I feel the confidence? But my intention and my heart is so pure. I just think that you're a bad bitch and I just want to get you from A to B. But you need to get there through your own journeys. I know you've got it. I've seen you at your best. I know that you can fulfill that. Here's my hand. Let's do it together.
But I don't think it is let's do it together though. I think it's also like some people don't want to be with other people when they're experiencing uncomfortable things.
Oh, I've learned that now. Yeah. Oh my God, and I've learned so much.
Yeah.
Now.
And so it's actually like that. Your people's insistence on like, let's move through this quickly. Mm. It's us not being able to like get like all of it. It's like not wanting to have difficult conversations with friends, not wanting to check in on them when they might be going through something. Yeah. Like all of that is you, people struggling to sit with their own discomfort. And therefore, like, of course they're never going to sit with your discomfort or like whatever's, whatever struggles you're going through.
No, but I also feel like one thing society doesn't do, like, is back to what we're saying, is have a handbook on maintaining. Like, you're bad with your finances, there's a book that you can read. You're, you know, wanting to be more fit, this is the way. I just don't think that there is that manual or that conversation enough on, like, when your friend's going through this, how do you support them? They can, if someone's got cancer, there's books and, like, there's so many other resources, but in friendship maintenance, it's just not there. So then you struggle and fumble through it.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's doing their best. I'm sure when my friends are trying to help me out, whether I think that the help is adequate or not, they're doing their best. But it just doesn't kind of fit because you don't know. Like, there's no handbook. There's no, like, how do you become a better friend? I had to start a podcast with you and think about it for every single day to really understand how I can change my narrative and how I have it. And since doing this podcast, I've had conversations with my friends where I was like, hey, that was a bit of a, whoa, I was really ill-equipped there. Or, oh my God, I did like choose my boyfriend over my other girlfriend. Like I've had to come to like real realizations of my mistakes. And that's because I've had to really work on that. But people don't often even know that they're doing it until 10 years later.
I would argue that there are resources. People just don't. I think that, like I said, both of you and I are creative professionals. We are both really solutions orientated.
Yeah.
So we are people that are like, where are the answers? Like you said, you're going to cafes and you're talking to everyone. I was doing the same thing. Like literally up until just recently, I had this moment where I was like, stop telling everyone about these friendship breakups you were going through. Because I realized for me it was becoming like a crutch because I was like, what are you trying to get out of telling these new relationships about? Like I was like, you're kind of like you've been through a divorce and you're meeting new people
for dates.
And you're being
divorces.
Like, I've just been going through a divorce. And I'm like, think about that contextually. And I realized what I was trying to do is that because there is a part of me that is afraid of making new relationships, particularly because, like I said, I don't think it's hard to make new friends. I think it's hard to make old friends.
Yeah.
And I'm 35. I had friends that I've broken up with that I was friends with, some since I was 15, some since I was 17, some since I was 20. Those are long friendships. And I was sitting there and I was like, if I make a friendship now that is as long as like my exes, that takes me 15, 20 years. I'm like, I'm going to be in my 50s. And so it becomes this thing where I'm like, if I'm meeting someone, I'm like, are you someone I'm going to be friends with in my 50s? And it's that annoying thing because I'm like, don't be thinking about that. You could die tomorrow.
Yeah, you're overthinking
that. That's a lot of pressure,
that.
Right?
That's a lot
and so I
of
realized, but that's what
pressure.
Was that's what was inside all of me basically confessing to people that I've been through these breakups.
Yeah.
It's like me laying it out on the table, like, I hey, I'm really vulnerable, open wound right now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I know this from just other aspects of my life is I have a habit that I think if I tell someone a story that they understand how I feel.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Telling someone the story isn't the same as like, I'm really tentative right now and I feel a bit vulnerable around new friendships.
But I also feel like you're protecting your heart here. Yeah. You're going in like, oh my God, if
absolutely.
I tell them where I, and which is interesting. It is. I love, I.
It's not a conscious thing. It's just more like me sitting down and be like, why do you, what? Hey, motor mouth, stop telling everybody all of your heartbreak. Like, stop singing this sad song. Like you said, I think we're both in this position of like, well, we no longer want to sit here. One, feeling like we're shitty people.
Yeah.
Two, feeling like other people are shitty. Because like that's the thing. Like, I don't blame other people.
Yes.
I think we've all been through a really profound things in the past few years, and like nobody's been on their best behavior.
No.
So like, I'm not sitting here like blaming them either.
Well, I'm hoping that this podcast, like, you know, I'm excited to like really go through this journey. We're having conversations each week. We are actually going to like go through different concepts of friendships or different themes of friendship. And I think that when people come along on this journey with us, they'll understand that it is about maintaining friendships. It's about putting in the work, it's about understanding, it's having those difficult conversations. And also for me, it's for me like to really just be better at it. It's a skill. I love to master a skill, and my friendship skills is going to be in 2020, 30, I reckon.
Oh my God, you're giving yourself heaps of time.
2025, I'm hopefully that like the new friends won't even know about my last disappointing hat, except for if they listen to the podcast. And my old friends, I'll have more sustaining relationships. Because I do, I have friendships from like one of my best friends. I've known her since I was like 11. You know, I've got relationships that are deep in my life. But I wonder how I could be better. Or maybe I'll just be a bit more the same, you know, but a bit more considered. Mm. No love bombing, I think. No love bombing.
As someone who practices like radical self-acceptance, I think I don't necessarily want to be better. I just want to be more authentic. That's kind of where I'm going. It's like when someone's hurt me, I want to be able to like express to them
how you feel.
That I feel
yes.
hurt. And I also want to be present when someone tells me how they feel.
Yep. Oh my God. So each week we are going through our letters, letters that people have written to us for some advice. Like we want to be upfront. We're not therapists. Everyone knows where my position is in the friendship game. And everyone knows what Juliet's probably got to be more of a compassionate kind of eye. So we are just going to read two letters out each time and we're going to give our 30 cents worth of like advice.
30 cents? That's random. I'm getting a full dollar.
Yes. We'll go with Arlo's one. A full pound.
Oh, I thought Arlo had given a question and I was like, all right, no, yeah. What's happening in the playground?
So our question today is from we'll always keep it anonymous. Is that the word? I can never say it.
Anonymous.
Yeah, I don't know why I can never say it. There are words that I can't say.
It's okay.
And it's all about jealousy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so let me just read the letter out loud. A friend of mine that I've been friends with for multiple years tends to do a bit of a copycat thing. So if I buy something, I notice a few weeks later she may have something really similar. It really irks me and I don't know how to confront her. Is it because she loves my style or my items, or is it because she wants to look better than me? I'm just unsure.
Oh my God, this is like so not what I was expecting it to be. This like brings me back to like high school, because I think that's probably like the last time people in my like immediate life were talking about other people buying similar things. I don't know. Does this person explain whether or not this is clothing or home goods or?
No, it's not very, very detailed.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is kind of like influencers exist now where it's like, they've bought something and then you're meant to be influenced by them to buy things.
That's
so
true.
It's interesting that like within our own friendships, people might be like, well, this person's like copying me. When I'm feeling away, I try to unpack, what am I actually feeling? You obviously have an issue with this person buying the same things as you. And so maybe you need to ask yourself, what is my actual issue?
Yeah. And it depends. I'm a bit of a, like, I love my fashion. If I am spending time and effort to really curate something and I'm like, you know, going into all the vintage shops, doing all the work that you need to require, spending a ton of cash, and then homegirl over there comes to the party, like after I tell her in a similar outfit, just cause, that's a little annoying. Like that is, that's like...
I'm not going to say it's not a little annoying. Yeah, so I think it definitely like, depends what age group you're in.
Of course. Yeah. I think in any age group, if your friend's trying to keep up with you or like, you know, there's a little bit of competition going on, that's just not healthy. And I mean, like you can be inspired. Yes, you want your friends to be inspired. You all want to look good, but you don't want it to be like a, oh my God, I'm just doing what you're doing. I want to be inspired by what my friends are wearing. I want to be like, okay, you've got that home goods. Oh, that's interesting. Where'd you get that from? I don't want the same thing as my, like in my house. So I would find that, to be honest, I would find that really, really annoying, but I don't know if it's an issue enough to like confront. I'd just be like, come to my house less. I'm going to wear the crappy stuff around you. See if you follow that dude. It sounds like a very 20s question, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
No, but in saying that, I say it feels 20s to me because I'm like, yeah, maybe when I was in my 20s, that's something I would care about. But it's also at the same time, I'm like, I'm sure that there's, I don't want to make anyone feel bad if they are in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond and they have a problem. Because also like I could be sitting here being like, that's a weird. And then who knows, maybe next week somebody buys something I really like, I really liked and it will annoy me. I don't know. It's just right now I'm trying to think.
I think it's more about that competitive vibe. Like if a friend's trying to one-up you or do the same thing as you, I think it's just more that puts it into that competitive
are
friendship
zone. Are they trying
zone?
To one-up you though, or do you feel yeah. one-upped? That's what I'm trying to say. Often we might think, is someone actually trying to one-up you or do you actually feel insecure and are you going,
yes.
I thought I looked really hot in this jeans, but then actually I think my friend looks hotter. Like, is it something yeah. more like that?
I do know a scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not even like a friend of a friend. This is just like, I do know, I've yeah. heard of a story where there's a friendship group mm-hmm. where someone's buying like a car and then their friend's trying to like does the same thing and like they have like little oh, yeah. things in their houses where it does become a bit of a competitive. It does. And it is annoying because first of all, in friendships,
you
want to other level yourself up in like, oh my God, we're the, like, that person's amazing.
Oh, right.
I love that. But you don't want to ever be like, I want to be better than them. So if that's what your friend's energy is bringing off, like, I'm going to do what you're doing, but I'm going to do it better. Mm. And there's an arrogance because there's a thing where you could just be inspired. Oh my God, Juliet, I saw you in that top the yeah. other day. Wow. I didn't even think about wearing a one-off, like, a off the yeah. shoulder. And I went to Bardo sale or whatever.
How dare you? This is from the Salvation Army op shop.
Yes. And I literally am now rocking it, but I'm inspired. I love it. It's versus
yeah.
you not acknowledging that they were your inspiration, people complimenting you
yeah.
and you're not giving a shout out to Juliet on her how you're inspired. Not that you have to, but I think yeah. when you're in really tight, especially with women sometimes,
yeah.
when you're in that like clicky circle, I don't really have that.
Yeah.
But that does turn into that. And I can see how over time that would be annoying. You're like, hey, yeah, you got that top. That was from me. Yeah. Give me a shout out. You know what I mean? Because it's about elevating. It's not like if you're trying to be better than your friends or one-up them or try and like prove something, I think that that's a weird friendship to start off with.
100%. I think there's other problems going on.
Yeah, there are way other. So I could understand from this person's question
yeah.
that I would be a little bit annoyed and I would start to wear not great stuff around her and only see her and like,
oh my God, that's so guys, don't play games with your friends.
No.
Just do you know what
tell her stop it.
No,
I noticed
stop.
That you were
come at it from let's do therapy speech. Let's see if this actually works. Maybe come at it and go like actually work out what you're feeling and going like, hey, part of me is a little embarrassed to even admit this. Like also admit to yourself, like, is this person your actual friend? If this person is your friend,
yeah.
I wanna feel like, I want to try and understand my friend as best I can. I don't know whether that's even possible to ever fully understand another human being. But like, that's the type of friendships I want. I want to understand each other. I want us to, like, have a great time on this rock that's floating around in ever-expanding space. Like,
yes.
Life is weird. I want somebody else in it with me. I don't want to be sitting here imagining, because that's the thing with thoughts. We are imagining
that's
that our friend is trying to one-up us. That's weird.
That is
so like,
true.
Say to yourself, be like, hey, maybe you want to even be like, hey, I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but like,
are you copying my style?
But yeah, I can't, like, you've bought a few things.
So petty,
and it's made me
real.
Feel weird. No, but it's like, just be
no,
real.
You're right.
Because actually, if you come at it, this is the thing, if you come at it not from a place of attacking, but like, you're
that's
admitting, you're
true.
Like, oh, I don't know how to feel about this. And like,
yeah.
and you kind of,
vulnerability.
If you come at it with vulnerability yeah. and this person, if you come at it with vulnerability and you're actually like truthfully coming at it with vulnerability and that person can't hear that and go like, oh, I actually just really like, I thought it looked great on you and
yes.
I really liked it. Then it's how someone responds to you, I guess, when you try and open up. If someone hears that and they're like, oh my God, you're a psycho. You're actually the one that's, you know, you don't own things, you know, and then it becomes a bigger argument.
You didn't invent
You've
fashion.
Learned something about them. Because if, this is the thing, it's like, don't imagine that it's going to be a fight. Imagine
yeah.
like, oh, maybe this will be like a funny, cute, maybe it'll become a thing where you'll now quite literally be wearing matching outfits. Who knows? Maybe it will now be a little joke. You're like, oh, I just really liked your style.
Yes.
I didn't realize you had a problem with it. Or like, who knows, even if it does become a fight, but it's just like, it's so much better than like being like, I'm going to then not wear special things around this person because I'm imagining that. That just reminds me of high school.
See,
that really reminds me of high school.
See how much work I have to work
and,
on. See how much, I've got a lot of work to do. So I love that you've given me that.
Well, I don't know if that will work. I'm just saying, if this is a friend,
yeah.
don't get me wrong, if I started going to a workplace and someone in the workplace, I'm coming in and they're like, you know, I'm a quirky gal.
Yeah.
So if I'm coming into the workplace and they've got themselves like a matching plaid two-piece by a collective closets all of a sudden, and I'm like, That's my friend's label.
Oh, and you know,
maybe
say,
I would feel weird.
And that's
in
so
the
funny because lots of people have said that to me. A lot of women have come at me like, I thought we're in collector closets.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, Teresa from accounts is wearing collector closets.
She's now she thinks she's a quirky girl too.
And she hasn't like told people that she got it from me. She's in the workplace wearing it, not giving me the shout out.
Oh my God.
Now she's like, you know, setting herself an alarm to get it first so she can be wearing it in the office. I've heard that from so many customers of mine.
That's a bit wild.
So listen, maybe it's not one of those letters that are quirky. Anyway, but if you do have a letter, please send it to thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com and we will try our best to unpack it. I will be probably a bit petty. Maybe not.
I'm always going to tell you to lead with love. About leading with love.
And I'm going to always lead with the pettiness. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a petty person.
Let's be friends. Subscribe to the Disappointing Friend. Follow us at the Disappointing Friend Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. DM us a voice recording with all your friendship, tribulations and triumphs or just thoughts, or email us at thedisappointingfriendpodcast@gmail.com. We're obviously not psychiatrists or psychologists or therapists in any capacity, but we have years and years and years of experience disappointing friends and being disappointed by friends. Until next time, the disappointing friend has left the chat.
Oh my God, I actually am really into Arlo's song, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I think Hey Friend is really cute.
He's like, it's like a good level of like melancholy but also joy.
He was like, which one? What do you reckon Juliet's going to do? I don't know. It's a surprise.
No, it was good.
He's like, tell her not to pick books, books, books. I go, I don't think she's going to even think about using books, books, books.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't even listened to books, books, books.